Street View Podcast is part of the Dallas Public Library's Homeless Engagement Initiative, dedicated to increasing community awareness of issues related to homelessness. The opinions expressed are solely those of the individuals and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Dallas Public Library or the City of Dallas.
How do you want to see it? What do you want to do? You got it all figured out, straight from your cubicle. Life's a musical, maybe a carousel. How do you want to see it? What do you want to do? Perception starts with selection. The same streets you walk on, they carry their own view. This is Street View.
Heavenly Father, we come right now asking with sincerity and with truth, with fear and trembling. God, we come right now asking for you to live through us. Speak through us. Just be what we all need. We already know you fill in all the gaps, you know. Your feet sit on every single limb, on every single tree, you know. Thank you just for being there and being with us. And help us work through whatever it is we need to get through in order to get to you. At this time, Pop, we're grateful and we thank you. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Hello, this is Rashad Anthony Dickerson, a.k.a. Slim, don't forget the gym. AKA the podcast host. I'm in the building, y'all. And I have beautiful faces with me all around me. I have Miss Adina. She will be here. She is one of the volunteers here at AmeriCorps. We also have Antoinette. And of course, the captain. Now, my co-host will be joining us shortly. And we'll be doing a lot of taking it all in. So since I have Adina here in the studio, in the building, I am going to pick on her. Are you ready, Adina?
Yes.
Can you get closer to the mic, Adina?
Yes.
Thank you. Adina, where were you a year ago?
Homeless.
What was going on?
Just couldn't figure out what I was going to do. I was trying to figure out where I was going to stay, what I was going to do, how my life was going to be.
Soul searching, in a sense.
Correct.
Where are you today?
I am not homeless. I'm staying in a boarding home called Angel's Home, and I work for the Dallas Public Library. Well, sorry, serve for the Dallas Public Library AmeriCorps City Square program.
Did you miss anything about last year to this year?
Actually, I did. I missed all the people that I met here at the library.
You missed something else?
I think he's referring to your wonderful new addition.
Oh, it's my little bitty Gracie.
Giggle. Okay. Gracie.
Yes, sir.
Who's Gracie?
Gracie is my three-week-old daughter.
So can you tell us a little bit about your experience being pregnant and homeless?
Terrifying. Because there's really no place for pregnant women that are homeless. There's Family Gateway, but that's really not really any place for, there's really not any place for pregnant women out there. There's no shelters that really help pregnant women.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Family Gateway, what's the policy over there?
You have to be able to work. You have to have an income coming in and everything else. Mm-hmm. And most women that are homeless aren't able to have an income and be able to work and be pregnant.
Yeah, that's kind of tough. So what'd you do?
Well, I mainly stayed out on the streets, applied for the service here at the Dallas Public Library through AmeriCorps, and worked my way to saving money and getting off the streets.
Congratulations. Kudos to you.
Thank you.
So you said the boarding home you're staying at is called?
Angel's Home.
Angel's Home is where you're staying, and you were homeless and pregnant. That had to be terrifying. Go through a normal day of that life, if you will.
From a homeless day?
Yeah.
Every morning we'd get up bright and early with the sun, even sometimes before the sun. I'd be sleeping anywhere I could find a place to sleep that would be safe enough for a woman to sleep on the streets by herself. But I didn't sleep on the streets by myself. I had a group of friends that stayed with me. We got up, we came down to the, sit in front of the library till the library opened, and we hung out at the library during the day until it closed. And then we would go sit down at Pegasus Plaza after that and spend the day just hanging out and then go back to bed, find a place.
Right. A group of friends, you said, a network in a sense.
Correct.
About how many, like maybe 10, 12?
Four or five.
Good friends?
Mm-hmm.
Stuck with you through it all.
Friends that I call my family.
Amen. It's funny, you know, when we started the show, Jasmine called the relationship the homeless have to each other bromance. Like, she just talked about the love between the people in the homeless culture. Different, in a sense, and more loving, more caring, and compassionate. You agree?
I agree. The homeless look out for the homeless. We look out for each other. Mm-hmm. I mean, we have to. There's not really anything else we can do, because if we don't look out for each other, who's going to look out for us?
True indeed. And that's crazy because, you know, I try to explain that relationship to people, and I've done my best to try to depict what it meant and what it embodies here on the podcast. And then I started realizing that my scope wasn't big enough. Like, I didn't have enough individuals who were in the culture to represent the culture. And so that's why I started picking on you today. I'm sorry about that.
You're okay?
I pick people's brains. Now, Antoinette, on to you. What are you wearing today? I mean, I've been talked about with the Batman, but what are you wearing today?
Well, today I'm wearing my royal blue cardigan with my Greek sorority letters on it, because this is Founders Week for Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated.
Excellent. Zeta Phi Beta.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What's that about?
Well, Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated is actually a community-oriented action group. So we do a lot of things in the community. We help with resources, programs. I mean, we have tons of initiatives that, you know, help within our communities.
Do you have, like, events? You guys do events and stuff like that?
Oh, all the time. We partner with the March of Dimes, so we're constantly working with them closely. We have, we host events for our veterans. We host events for our pregnant moms. Yeah, I'm looking at you, Adina. Hey. We host classes. We're always doing giveaways. We're really big on scholarship, service, sisterhood, and finer womanhood. And we're approaching 96 years. This year we'll be 96 years old.
So you always find yourself in the midst of, like, community service in a sense, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, community service has always been really big for me because, you know, someone came out to my community when I was a kid and trying to figure out what's going on. I didn't necessarily come from well-to-do-ness. I came from the hood, you know?
Right. Welcome to my hood. Yeah, I understand.
The bottom of poverty, you know?
Yeah.
Just barely above being homeless. Right. So, you know, and they came out and showed me, you know, that just because this is where I started doesn't mean that that's where I have to end up. And, you know, I've been on the blaze ever since.
Excellent. I'm grateful for that, to be honest with you. This whole movement of the homeless initiative and just seeing people being compassionate and everything is, it's like what I'm all about because of community, you know, because of the community I came up in, you know, Frozen Cup Ladies and you know, football.
And Candy House.
Right. Football in the street and stuff like that. And that I miss that in a sense. And I always try to promote that, you know. Age is a funny thing. You know, a friend of mine hit me up last night, and it was from my choir boy days, you know, like 13, 12. And, you know, he's got kids. His brother's got kids, and they, we talk about the things that we've gone through in life and, you know, how we all got to battle our own monsters. And they had been through a lot. Like, they had been through a lot. And, you know, me and you, Adina, have been through a lot. Me and you, Hudson, have been through a lot. Ryan, of course, man. You know, you've been through a lot with the library. But it's just time right now for me is time, and this time represents distance for me right now. And I guess I'm trying to preserve peace too. So I'm doing a lot right now where I miss focusing and being in the community, but I guess I'm preparing myself from what people have told me. Mm-hmm. And, man, I just really want to just kind of get y'all's feedback on that. What y'all thinking? Because my mind is kind of scattered at this moment.
I mean, personally, I think Adina is totally downplaying all of her contributions to AmeriCorps.
Me too.
Like, oh my gosh. So since she's not going to tell you, I'm going to tell you about Adina. Okay. She came to me when I was still an AmeriCorps member. Mm-hmm. And we were looking for shelter for her and her family. And from the moment that she came to the help desk, she had been coming to our event. She found out everything that we did, and she had participated in everything.
This was around the time of the help team.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We were there. This is when, before we had the help desk. It was the AmeriCorps desk at that time. And she was coming. She was participating in all of our programs, from the book club, coffee and conversation. And she just kind of took it upon herself to volunteer for our programs. The next thing I know, she's back there helping me bag cookies and helping me make coffee. And then when we had our AmeriCorps position come up, I went to Jasmine and I was like, you know, we have this open position. We need to fill this position. Why don't we fill it with someone who had actually been on the other side of the desk and has a little bit more of an intimate relationship with our customers?
Right.
And Jasmine's like, that's a great idea. I'm going to Joe. And that same day I was like, so Adina, you know, we have that position. If you want it, let's do it. And we applied that day.
And did she get it? When did she get it?
Oh, absolutely. The same day. And I was so excited to have her there, you know, and I recognize it was a hardship, you know, just getting here and coming and all of that. Because Adina, man, she is the epitome of AmeriCorps. I mean, she is dedicated. She's always here before I am.
Yeah.
I'm like, I get here at 9. She's here at like 7 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
Soon as the library doors open.
So you saying Adina would pop up like before you got here?
Yes. When she first started her AmeriCorps term, I'm telling you, I got here at 9 o'clock in the morning. And she had been here for 2 hours long before I got here.
Waiting on you.
Yes. And I mean, it really impacted me and it touched me and kept me motivated, because I already knew her experience. I knew what she was going through. I knew that she was experiencing homelessness, but still came in and sat on the other side of the desk and helped our customers find resources and information, even knowing that she was going to be leaving and going right back into that situation.
Yeah. That's dire. It's only a few words to kind of describe that kind of determination and that kind of dedication towards life and giving. Cause she was giving of herself at the same time she was in need. Mm-hmm. And to be honest with you, that's a rare breed of person. I thank you for working here, Adina, honestly.
You're welcome.
So Adina, let's get a little bit more personal. How'd you become homeless?
I became homeless in 2012. I lost my job, I lost my car, I lost my housing.
Where were you?
My husband and I were staying in an apartment over off of Royal Lane and 75.
You have a husband?
Yes.
How long have you had a husband?
We will be married 8 years on the 23rd of February.
8 years. Okay. And this is 2016. And then y'all was homeless in 2012. So you lost your job. You mind me asking where you were working?
I was working for Domino's Pizza.
Did you like it?
No.
Understood. So you became homeless 2012. And what was y'all's first thought? What did y'all first do?
Well, we got a hold of his father, let his father know that we were homeless. His father had a friend that was staying at the bridge. And so we went to the bridge, checked it out, and we became members of the bridge for 6 months.
6 months? Why just 6 months?
Well, I met a new guy and things fell apart with my husband. So we separated in October. And we just recently got back together last year.
Mm-hmm. And then y'all had a kid.
Well, actually, the kid belongs to another guy. My husband stepped up and became daddy of this little girl that's not even his.
Oh, man. Soft heart. So you meet a guy while you're homeless with your husband, and then you have a kid, and then you and the guy get back together. And all of this happens while you're homeless.
Well, my husband and I had two little boys. Child Protective Services got involved, took our kids, and we were fighting for them to get them back. Turns out we never were able to get them back. And then I met this other guy, had a kid with him, lost that kid. That's when I met Antoinette. Because I had Samson.
Okay.
Samson and Antoinette became the best of friends. And that's when Antoinette started helping me try to find housing and stuff like that. She got me actually into Family Gateway. And I stayed there for a few months. Didn't like it very much. Because the fact that they really weren't helping me. They were more like pushing me into religion stuff that I didn't believe in. And trying to force me to get a job and put my newborn into that child daycare that I couldn't handle at the time. And so we left and we went into a boarding home, and then I lost custody of Samson. And then I met another guy. Turns out when you're homeless, you try to get as safe as possible by meeting guys when you're a female, and they think they're going to protect you, but they don't always protect you.
It's not only for the homeless, mom.
And then we ended up having a little girl on Christmas Eve of of 2015. And she's been my little angel ever since.
Y'all stay tuned. We'll be back with the Street View podcast.
I just want to thank Adina for being on the show today and for being so open and vulnerable with us, and for her commitment and enthusiasm for this AmeriCorps position. But in listening to her, I think I have a better feel for what this episode's really about. And it's a topic that we haven't really touched on in the podcast, but is a harsh reality for many people out on the street, or in shelters who are women. We've had a lot of male guests, and statistically, most homeless individuals are male. And a lot of times when there are women who are homeless, which there are, a lot of times it does have to deal with domestic violence, and there are domestic violence shelters for that, but there are too few. And it is hard as a woman to find safety on the street. And I know that when we had Ron Cowart on one of the first episodes, Ron Cowart, back in the day, I think, you know, the street teams, those crisis intervention teams, they see a lot of what happens on the streets to women. But of course, being a woman by nature, the struggle is different. And I know that we've heard some horror stories, rape, you know, getting beaten, trying to find that male protector and then turning on you and beating you or raping you.
Yeah, you know, one of the last episode we did with Wayne, it really took me aback what he said about Tent City. He was saying, you know, it's all kind of things going down up under that. And I figured he would say something like drugs, but then he started saying stuff like sex trafficking and rape and like you said, domestic violence. And then you also have, you know, I think we're really, really sensitive to a lot of subjects, and we do a good job of being touchy-feely toward a lot of the things that's going on in the city. But the woman, I think that's valuable. Like, I think we can't see it from that perspective. I can't, which is why Adina's here, Antoinette's here, and Jasmine's here to kind of illustrate, and I'll just chime in from time to time, if that's okay with you guys.
No, this is a woman's only episode. Women take over. Women power.
We run the world.
We run the world. Who runs the world? Thank you, Beyonce. I'm a feminist, obviously, but I'm a firm believer that women, we have a lot more power than we use, and yet we're more vulnerable at the end of the day. And so, you know, Adina, what are some of the things that a woman experiences on the streets that, you know, the outside world wouldn't even think about or wouldn't know about, or that you know, that men don't have to worry about?
Well, mostly women have to worry about everyday women things, but at the same time, we have to worry about where we're going to sleep at night because of the fact that it's 10 times harder for a woman to be sleeping out on the street than it is for a man, because men can get into the shelters more than the women can. There's, for instance, at the bridge, there's only a limited amount of beds for women to sleep. Or even at Dallas Life or Austin Street or any of those shelters, they have a limited amount of female beds to men. Female beds are just a third of what male beds can do at the bridge or at the shelters or any of that. So most women have to sleep out on the streets. And I mean, it's hard. There's not very many places for people to sleep out on the streets as it is now anyways. But still, we find our places, and then we have to fight with men just to even sleep on the street, be able to sleep safely on the street, because men take over the spots on the streets. We have to, sometimes we have to panhandle, and unfortunately, it's against the law, but sometimes females have to do what we have to do to make money. A lot of the women out there are on Harry Hines down by Parkland most of the time, selling themselves just so they can make money to get in a room at night, just so it's safe. It's horrible for women out there. I mean, there's other things that women have to do. There's pregnant women are even worse because of the fact that you're having to take care of yourself plus your unborn child out there. And it's horrible. I slept under a bridge for many nights just trying to stay safe. It was horrible. I'm so glad.
And then there's not that many options for when you are pregnant where you can stay, because exactly. Even Family Gateway, you have to have a child already born, right?
Yes. Correct.
So are there shelters that take pregnant women?
There are no shelters that will take a pregnant woman without additional children in the downtown Dallas area. And that was one of the biggest issues that I had when me and Adina first interacted. There are very few shelters that will accept a woman with a child who is not a victim of domestic violence. Right. And that was our biggest issue, because at that time, Adina wasn't a victim of domestic violence, so we couldn't find her a place. And then when Adina went back to the bridge and we found out that she was pregnant, they wouldn't let her stay there either. So, I mean, it's really difficult for a woman with children, or even a woman who is pregnant, to even get into a shelter program.
And then you think about how difficult it would be to even have regular birth control or contraceptive, or the idea that someone might be impregnated involuntarily through an act that was not of consent. And yet there aren't the resources there for them to stay. And they are two lives now that need to be cared for.
Correct.
Not just one.
The bridge now actually allows pregnant women to stay, but they don't stay very long. Once you get ready to give birth, you cannot stay at the bridge. Dallas Life takes pregnant women, but only for you only get your first 5 days free. And then if you don't join one of their programs, you're back out on the streets.
Right.
$10 a day.
And I mean, $10 a day for a pregnant woman is like, and being homeless is hard. Because you don't have a job. Right. You don't know where you're going to get that money from. I even asked pastors and preachers and anything to help me. And actually, when I was pregnant with Samson, right after giving birth to Samson, before Antoinette got me into Family Gateway, my pastor actually helped me by putting me in a motel room for a week. But, I mean, pastors and preachers can only do so much.
Right.
So it's kind of hard for everybody out there, but mainly for pregnant women or women, period.
Right. And if you are married or in a relationship with a male who's also homeless and has a lot of the struggles of homelessness, then he's not able to be a provider and
correct.
Take care of you and the child.
And in most shelters, women and men can't, if you're married, you can't sleep in the same, you have to be separated. So it's even scarier for the woman because of the fact that you're separated from your man during the night. And so you don't really know what's going on.
And we see a lot of couples here at the library. We really do. And I tell people that, and there's, you know, there are these love stories. I remember when I first met Nikki, who also just had her baby, who I had the pleasure of meeting yesterday. And I remember when I first met her, she was like, oh, this is so-and-so, but he's my ex, but he's he's friends with so-and-so who's my new boyfriend, you know? And it's like, and there's these like, you know, normal life drama that happens. But I think for people in the outside world, your sort of your housed people, the people who are unexposed to what it's like to be homeless or around homeless people, it's, you know, they don't think that, oh, like normal everyday life things happen. Human things happen. Yes, it's, people fall in love.
It's funny you say that. I was listening to Adina and we be in a pavilion where they lay out, what's the ratio, 76 to like 24, mm-hmm. 24 for women and like 76 for men. And everybody will be looking over to the woman's side, right? Check this out. We all over there. Everybody's looking over to the woman's side. You got dudes talking to their girlfriends. Babe, give me my phone. And you got them going back and forth until they get ready to call count. And it's funny. Because, you know, a lot of different things happen because of the women in the shelters. To me, to be honest, one day I sat at the bridge and I looked out and I said to myself, bro, all of this brick and this metal and this concrete, bro, it's just like prison. It's only that it's women here.
There's one perk. You get women to
and look at. To look that's at it.
But you'd be amazed, man. I've seen people fighting behind girls. I've seen girls who would they sneak stuff into the bridge so they could sell candy around the bridge. I've seen a lot of those things that lead to the fact of how beneficial it is, more so for the man than it is for the woman in that circumstance.
You know, I can't help but think, why? Why are there so few resources out there and housing options and shelters for women who don't have other children, who even if they're not pregnant, but just women in general with no other circumstance like domestic violence or substance abuse or whatever else it might be. And I can't help but think it's really about funding. It's like, who do you feel most sorry about? We talked about this with Wayne about how sympathetic people are to homeless children. Mm-hmm. But as soon as you have a homeless adult standing next to that homeless child asking mm-hmm. for money, people gawk at the homeless adult because there's this sense of choice. There's a sense of you can take care of yourself. You just made bad decisions and you choose not to.
Right.
And I think for women, it's a similar issue the way it is with children and adults. But you throw in the domestic violence thing. We have so many domestic violence shelters here compared to shelters just for, you know, that help people. We have Family Gateway and Genesis Women's Shelter. And mm-hmm. then in different communities, there's smaller ones. I know there's one in Garland, like Hope Place or something like that.
There's several little places that'll take women, but I mean, most of them are domestic violence women shelters or people that'll take domestic violence women. A lot of them are not actually disclosed to people right. because they don't want people to know where they are or
the men to know where that woman exactly. is staying.
And I mean, a lot of the places are hard to get into when you're a woman. I mean, there's limitations for a woman than there are for men. And it's horrible out there for most women. And most women end up, 5 out of 10 females on the street end up pregnant.
Right. I mean, whether by choice or not.
In our little group that I call my family, four of us were pregnant. Mm-hmm. And all four of us have already given birth to a little girl or a little boy. In fact, actually, all four of us have given birth to a little girl.
Aww.
My friend Shannon, she gave birth to a little girl. Nikki, as you know, she was in our little group. She gave birth to a little girl. My friend Lachey, she gave birth to a little girl. And then there was Michelle who gave birth to a little girl. No, sorry. She gave birth to a little boy. And then I gave birth to a little girl. And that's 5 women out of 10 that were just out on the streets in our little group. I mean, it's horrible. And then we had guys in our group, but that acted like they were protectors. But turns out at the end of the day, they really couldn't protect us at all. We were protecting them.
So I have a question for you, Adina. When you just having been homeless and then you gave birth to a little girl, how do you feel knowing that there's a possibility that your daughter could deal with the same experiences that you had?
I am scared to death that my daughter will be just like me. I pray to God every day that my daughter won't be like me. She won't end up homeless. When I was younger, I wasn't homeless. I came from a loving family with my mom and my dad still married. When my mom passed away in 2009, I became homeless in 2012. And every day between 1981, when I was born, till 2012, I said, oh, I'm not going to be homeless. These people can't touch me. I've got my job. I've got home. I got a stable living environment. And then, boom, it hit me. Never say never is what my mom used to tell me. And she was right. You can't say never because you don't know what life's going to throw at you.
Life has humbled you, hasn't it?
Yes, it has.
That's good. That's very good. I got a question. I'm going to address the elephant in the room. So I'm a dude, so I don't fault me for this, but what do you guys do when you're going through women's cycles? And like, how do y'all come about what y'all need in order to take care of yourself?
You mean lady sickness?
I didn't even call it lady sickness. I did not call it lady
sickness. Our monthly terms come around and we are helped by the shelters giving us things we need sometimes, but sometimes we have to, like I said, we have to get out there and panhandle and use what we have to. A lot of women out there just use what we have to. Sometimes it's maple leaves. Sometimes it's tissue. Sometimes it's whatever we can.
Egyptian toilet paper.
that outdoor living camping style.
Wow. And wow. And y'all getting pregnant like that?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Okay.
Can I ask? yeah, it's a reality. Hello, men out there. Women go through a lot every month, by the way. And it's uncomfortable and miserable when you do have all the great commodities around. And
attitude.
Yeah. So. And to be on the street and to stay in encampment or, you know, in the woods or wherever it might be, or even in a shelter, and to go through that. Yeah. And
it can be embarrassing. It can get you sick. It could put you in a predicament where, you know, God forbid there are no sharks around.
Oh God, Rashad.
No cloudy.
That is a whole other.
This isn't Jaws, dear, okay?
It's Sharknado. No, I'm
it's
sorry.
It's a serious biological thing that happens, yes. You know, and it honestly, I love that we can talk about it, you know, that it's, this is, you know, just like getting sick, just like any other thing that happens to your body. It is what it is. Just like bowel movements, you know, like everyone's got to do it.
I mean, hey, you know.
And that's another thing. But that's men and women. They have to deal with that on the streets, too.
And that's, you know, that's not something I'm too proud to talk about. But I'm not that prideful where I won't talk about it. I've been in some situations, man. I've been in some situations where it was like, man, I hope nobody saw me. So
being homeless and being on your monthly cycle is probably a lot like being in jail. You don't get a lot of help when you're in jail when you're homeless and you're female and you're on your monthly.
Oh yeah. Wow.
And that's difficult. I can't do that. Good thing.
Well, I remember Jason, who was on a few episodes ago, mm-hmm. He'd be like, you know, you get in trouble for pooping on the street, but people walk their dogs and dogs do it all the time.
Right.
So why is dog crap better and more okay and more acceptable than human crap when we all do it?
Yeah.
And that's always stuck with me because it's true. And I see dog turds on the sidewalk all the time.
That's deep.
And again, it comes back to the thing that we are so much more sympathetic to the helpless. Dogs need our help. Dogs are animals, right?
No, humans, they don't.
Well, yeah. Actually.
It depends on, you know, but it's the mentality. Children, animals, they're helpless. Adults, they can help themselves. Adult women, they've made choices.
Mm-hmm.
But if they're in a domestic violence situation, let's have this extra level of sympathy for them, and let's donate money and let's create these shelters. And it's not to say that's not a need and that those people don't need it. But it also doesn't say that someone who is exempt of domestic violence or has not experienced that is not in just as great need of our sympathy and help.
A million questions has popped up.
I would say that as many domestic violence shelters out there, that we don't need as many domestic violence shelters as we have, but we do need some more women shelters.
Question. Now I want to pick on you. Mm. I'm a guy, and you're a feminist. Mm. Do you feel like, hey, Adina,
looks like Adina's on that. She's a feminist too. She's ready for this too.
Do you specifically have an issue with the way resources are being allocated? I mean, just basically, I mean, from a lot of the podcasts, a lot of the thoughts, do you think that they're wisely being allocated?
Well, I think one of the great things that's come out of the podcast is the more people we have at the table, the more conversations we're having, the more we realize what we have too much of, what we have too little of. And I think this is one of those things that's definitely risen up and showing us, like, why is there a gap here? And is it our societal biases? Is it the way people in Dallas donate money? Mm-hmm. What is it? And is there a need for more? And of course, as a woman, I want to take care of other women, and I want to empower other women. And, you know, on the Titanic, when they were doing lifeboats, it's women and children.
Right.
It's always been women and children. And yet when it comes to homelessness,
it's men first.
It's men. And then it's families. Mm-hmm. And we have a huge issue of children who are homeless. And we certainly don't have enough resources for that. And that's been getting a lot more media attention over the past year. But I don't know that just women in general have the services, resources that they need. And maybe there's a need to, you know, raise a little awareness about that.
When we come back, I need your help with something, Antoinette. Y'all stay tuned to the Street View Podcast. So how you doing, man? How you holding up, Adina? How you taking care of your kid?
I'm taking care of her slowly but surely. I'm working. I actually work two jobs. I work at the boarding home as a house manager / secretary on Saturdays and Sundays now, because I came back to volunteering servicing here at the library Monday through Friday. I work here from 9:30 to 3, 4, 5, 6, whatever time I can get out of here.
Right.
But I'm actually not supposed to be on service till 9:30. Okay. But my bus drops me off at 8:55, and I walk through that door and I become a servicer of many sorts right when I walk through that door.
Self-driven. I like this.
I help people get ready for the opening of the library at 10 o'clock. Yeah. So I serve, I get the desk ready, I do everything that I need to do so that I can get everything done. And I mean, even this coming Monday, MLK Day, where we have to service still, even though the library will be closed, mm-hmm. we will still have to be servicing. AmeriCorps actually is putting together at the city square, they're putting together packets for the homeless count that okay. they're going to be doing in the next couple of weeks. So I'm actually going to be going over there when I finish on Monday. So that'll be my Monday service. And then I'm banking it day by day.
Yeah.
I mean, servicing for AmeriCorps, we get a living allowance. We don't actually get a paycheck. Mm-hmm. But that little bit of money helps pay for diapers and wipes and whatever else I'll need for my little girl.
Mm-hmm. I just can't help but feel like Rashad, Adina, you both, and Antoinette, of course. But just these hidden treasures that are so unique to what we're doing here at the library, that we talk about Rashad. We talked about this last time, and other libraries wanting to do a podcast, and like, good luck.
Yeah.
You can't do it without a Rashad. Even Adina's story, you can't. We never went into this wanting to see this kind of impact. And you can't replicate it with the intention to replicate it. Things like this happen on their own. And to see Adina come so far in the year that she's been coming to the library and getting in touch with Antoinette and became pregnant and had her baby. And I remember Antoinette be like, Adina is bugging me about when she can come back. She's so eager. She wants to come back. And she was pregnant at the time and also very pregnant at the time. And I was like, okay, she's got to have this baby first.
Lady, we get it. Just but, cleaning up
and this is while Jasmine's on maternity leave.
Yes. Well, and I just had a baby, right? And it's hard work. It's hard work taking care of a baby. And it's a lot of responsibility. Ryan's shaking his head. Ryan knows what we're talking about.
This is the second time everybody in the room has had a kid. Yes, and I'm just sitting here going,
I have my Batman shirt. Like,
really? Yes. Superman and Batman. Thank goodness. And Wonder Woman. Yeah. But it's just, it's hard. It's hard to take care of a baby and while at the same time trying to take care of yourself. So I commend Adina. You have all the respect in the world for me. Just your eagerness to work and your ability to take care of this little girl and bring her into this world healthy. And it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. And we're so glad to be able to offer you this AmeriCorps position. And we're so glad to have it. We want to have you in it as many times as we can, which I think is 4 service terms. And hopefully we'll find something more permanent for you. I think it's a beautiful thing. It really is. It's awesome. And I remember when we had our coffee and conversation baby shower, and I would tell people, oh, we're having this baby shower as part of coffee and conversation. And it was a celebration of life. And we talked about it on the podcast. And of course I was very pregnant and Nikki and I were due around the same time. Adina wasn't there, I don't think, at the baby shower, but I remember telling people about it. Shannon was, and Michelle was, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, oh, you know, I got mixed responses from other women and other people, you know, when I bring up the idea of a homeless woman being pregnant.
Yeah.
Because, you know, again, they're sympathizing for this fetus inside you. And they're thinking, what's going to happen to this baby? And I said, it just depends. And I'm a firm believer that in talking with so many people who are experiencing homelessness, how giving so many of them are, that sometimes you need something to give you that extra edge to get you to that next level, to motivate you for someone else's sake.
Mm-hmm.
And whether that be a baby, whether that be a partner.
Maybe a father.
Whoever it might be.
Yeah.
For those who have that extreme selflessness that keeps them in homelessness, sometimes you need something to get you to that next level. But I'm also a firm believer that everyone is on their own timeline. You know, you'll get there when you're ready. We talked to Wayne in the last episode, who, you know, has been homeless for a little bit now. And yeah, and he mentioned before we were recording that he had an option to get housing 2 years ago. And he asked them to wait. He asked them to put a hold on it because he wasn't ready yet.
Right.
And whether that was because he didn't trust that if he was out in housing by himself, that he wouldn't get back into his bad habits.
Yeah.
But he said, wait, it was not the right time for him.
Yeah.
Of course, he gets put at the bottom of that housing list. And now it's 2 years again, and he's back at the top.
Yeah.
And he's got housing as an option for him now. And now he's ready. Now he's ready to take that step. So I'd love to hear more from Adina about, you know, sort of her timeline and what having a baby has done for her.
I mean, really, my timeline is just a normal, everyday, go to work, make money, take care of my daughter. I mean, it's really not set out for me. I live day by day. I don't know. For instance, tomorrow I may not be at the boarding home, but pray to God. God help me, I do. I am, because that baby needs a roof over her head more than anything. But, I mean, you never know what life's going to throw at you, because, I mean, one day you could be high as a kite on the ladder of step getting housing. Next minute, you're back down on the ground, homeless, sleeping on the street. I mean, I live by day by day.
Do you feel like the timing in your life now is better to be able to keep your little girl and to be more stable and than it was maybe a year or two, 3 years ago?
Yes, very much so. I wasn't ready to be a mom with Samson. That's why when CPS, because I was homeless with Samson, I was homeless. It was hard not being able to find a job, not having to be able to do this, not being able to have diapers and wipes, and having to rely on the shelters to supply diapers and wipes is a hard thing when you're a mom and being homeless. Then turns out I get a job here at the library, working, servicing, however you want to call it, having a living allowance that I put that money back for. Actually, the day before my daughter was born, my husband and I went and bought a baby crib for the first time. We were given our other ones with our other children, but we actually went and bought our first baby crib together for our daughter, and she loves it. She sleeps in it every night, and she wouldn't trade it for the world, but of course she would love sleeping next to mommy. Like,
of course. Then mommy won't sleep well. I speak
exactly.
From experience.
Exactly. But I mean, mommy gets up every 2-3 hours in the middle of the night, so she doesn't get much sleep, but she's bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, mm-hmm. ready to come to work at 9 o'clock in the morning and ready to go home at 3:30, 4 o'clock. But I mean, I miss being with my little girl, but I'm doing everything for her. I'm not doing it for myself anymore. I can't do it for me. I have to do it for her.
Is there something about having a girl that's a little different than having a boy? I know you mentioned you don't want her to be anything like you. And I think there's something, and my fear of having a girl is she's going to be just like me. And I don't think I can handle one of me. But is there something about having a girl versus having a boy?
Having a girl is a little bit harder. Well, being a female, as you know, is harder to be a female out in society than it is for guys, because there's more opportunities for guys out there than there are females. And there's the guys that, God forbid, she's like any of the guys, or she gets any of the guys that her mama has dated.
Right.
Because guys out there like to take advantage of females out there. And even regular females, period. You don't even have to be homeless to be taking advantage of being out there. But I pray that my boys, I raised my boys to where they have to respect women. I was taught that a woman is sensitive, but she also has the power to do what she has to do.
We have the power to bring life to the world. That's the ultimate power. Don't you think, Antoinette?
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, I was raised with 6 guys. I'm an only child. I was raised with 6 guy cousins. So I was treated like the little princess, but at the same time, I was a tomboy. I knew how to protect myself, play sports and all that kind of stuff. So I want my little girl to be able to protect herself, but at the same time, know that her daddy and her mama will be there if she needs them.
Rashad, got something on your mind?
Nah, I'm really just listening to you guys. I'm enjoying it too. I have to bite my tongue sometimes too.
I'm just glad we've had this opportunity. I've always been, and I'm not a feminist in the sense that I'm a man hater. I don't hate men at all, obviously, Rashad. But in the sense that we are equals, and that women have a lot more potential than we give ourselves credit for sometimes. The society shows us, whether it's by the pay gap, you know, that exists.
Man, y'all bullies too, though, bro. Y'all, you sitting there.
But, you know, our struggles are real. I mean, being a working mom is hard. There are days where it feels very unnatural to me to leave my little boy at home. Like, I just spent all this, my body just made this amazing, beautiful life. And I have to tell him, I just get to see him on nights and weekends.
Hey, hey. Yeah, that sucks.
Yeah, it's hard. I mean, mine's just 3 weeks old and I'm already back at work. Most women that give birth that are normal women go 6 weeks without having to get from leaving their daughter or their newborn at all. And I'm having to leave my newborn of 3 weeks. I mean, Monday I went to orientation. She got to go with me. Tuesday, my first day back at the library, and I didn't want to leave. I didn't want to leave her at all. So it's really hard out there to get up every morning knowing that you have to get up and go to work just to support the baby, but having to be able to leave the baby at home, not knowing what's going to happen during the day while you're gone is harder.
The hardest part about leaving them is when you know you're missing stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Like you're missing that first word or that first time that they sat up and smiled at the camera without you having to do anything.
Or even
and
that
getting
first
those
smile.
Reports when you get home. It's like, oh my God, I miss that.
And this is it. I mean, they're not going to be this way very long.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not going to get it back. And that's all so real to me now. And the truth is, yes, 3 weeks is early, but for a lot of women, because we do not have paid maternity leave in this country, many women have to make that decision 1 week after, 2 weeks after,
mm-hmm.
because if otherwise they're homeless,
mm-hmm.
they can't take care of their child. It could lead to homelessness.
And that's where, if you can't take care of your child, that's where CPS comes in. And they just rambunctious to help you support them. But at the same time, they want to separate mom and baby for months on end. And if you're breastfeeding, most moms do breastfeed. When CPS steps in, that baby becomes a formula baby. Yep. And boom.
Yep.
You lose that bond.
Well, and there's so much talk about attachment parenting and how crucial it is for babies to feel that love from the get-go and feel that sense of security and have that bond with the parent. And when you take a child away from their parent, then you're basically sending them into life with their love tank half full.
That's where most of the teenage girls and teenage boys that are homeless now are at, because they've lost that bond because they are CPS victims. Yep. And it's horrible out there.
That's where I come from.
I have a lot of friends that are CPS. Shannon is a CPS case and had a CPS baby.
It happens. It's a lot of different realities, man. We sitting here and I'm just really siphoning through the brain, man. And it's fairly difficult on all sides. One of my teachers told me, he said, it's impossible in this land, in this time, in this day and age, to know anything about the world and not be frustrated. He did say that.
I'm just curious how our ancestors did it without having to worry about, because CPS wasn't involved in early 80s, 70s, 60s.
Right.
When did they come evolved all of a sudden, and then how did we just change?
Decide what's best for the child you just created. And
exactly.
When did that become society's
decision?
Yeah, you know.
And not a family decision. And you know, it's one thing to say, I can't handle this. I'm going to let my mom take care of my child. I'm going mm-hmm. to, this is my choice. This is a family decision versus a government entity coming in to
exactly.
tell you and mandate it and create the chaos and for that poor child, too, to be in
exactly.
CPS custody while those decisions are being made.
Only getting to see mommy and daddy for a week, for a couple of hours once a week. It's horrible.
And I look at Rashad when he's talking right now, and I imagine his mother. I've never met his mother. I know she's deceased. But behind every man in this world is a mother.
There is always a surrogate, though. I've always had surrogate fathers and surrogate mothers. Every woman who was older than me was my auntie and has always been. I've learned a lot from them. And they keep me going. Like right now, you know, with the passing of my godmother and the passing of my father, I'm looking for that thing you were talking about. Like what's going to push me to go to the next level? Like I talked to Antoinette yesterday and I was like, bro, I do with school. I'm like tired, bro. I'm done. I'm like really looking for something to motivate me. And I gotta be honest, I likes the ladies. You know, so I will be attending school next semester. But just to be on topic, there's a lot of people. And I want everybody to be cognizant of the fact that women do make us. They do make those meat sacks that our souls reside in. And we do live every day and every moment. So if you got the opportunity, man, just tell a woman thank you. Somebody's mom. Thank you, Antoinette. Thank you, Jasmine.
Oh, you're welcome, Rashad. Anytime.
Thank you, Adina.
You're welcome.
Ryan, we owe it to them. I want to thank you guys for tuning in on the Street View podcast. Today has been a great, great, great session. And stay tuned. We got more for you. Let's pray. Eternal Father, it's ironic a lot of people don't see you as a woman. But I remember what you said in your word. You said God is love, love, and God are synonymous. And love, you describe love, many facets. And some of those facets were of a female depiction. You also call wisdom to be a woman, a beautiful woman. Lord, right now, as I sit here and I stammer over my words and I think about what I'm going to say, God, I'm just grateful for the fact that you made us all. You birthed us all. And whether we see you as man or woman, you know, fox or turtle, you know, duck or pigeon, yo, the truth of the matter is that you are the Father of light. And just like the light shines in everybody's eyes, God, you shine in my heart, in my mind, in my soul. And I pray that the shine that you shine would not be hidden, but will be revealed to all. So it's in Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this edition of Street View. You can visit us online at streetviewpodcast.com. Tune us in again next time for more discussion.